Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much. Welcome back to the show. If you've already been listening, that makes you a highly intelligent individual. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. That's what you got to look forward to. We've also got Bill Dunkelberg to look forward to, and he's going to be with us in just a second. Before we go there, though, I want to remind you about my website. I want you to encourage you to go to smallbusinessadvocate.com and use it to your advantage. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. I believe, at least based on the things that others of you are telling me, those of you who have been to my site and are using it to your advantage, I really appreciate you doing that. And there is no barrier to entry except for a computer and an internet connection. Other than that, it's all free. Everything there is free except for the books. We ask you to pay for those. Otherwise, check it out. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Don't forget to subscribe to my blog, which you can use on the site, or you can subscribe. We'll send it to you. And the newsletter comes by email every Sunday. The blog is Monday through Friday. So check it out when you get a chance. Bill Dunkelberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. William Dunkelberg is a professor of economics at Temple University, former head of the entire business school over there at Temple, and he's chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. How are things in Philly?
Well, you know, we're too wet, too much rain. We had yesterday, we ended up with 250,000 people without electricity in the region. They've got it down to about 60,000, but they said it could be the end of the weekend before they get everybody back up. That's a
wow,
long time.
Just because of the rain.
No air conditioning, you know.
Yeah, just because of the rain.
Yeah, well, the storm in the rain, and you know, it was pretty nasty.
Well, of course, you guys have been getting rain for several weeks now, haven't you?
We're very wet.
Yeah. Well, you know, I heard yesterday that it's something I didn't realize. One of our Brain Trust members reported that the IRS was having trouble, that their basement flooded, and it's basically almost shut them down.
How about that?
Yeah, I was all upset about that. I was all busted up about
that.
Yeah.
They're going to close the Philly branch. They have 2,600 employees that will be jobless because half of the tax returns are now filed electronically, and these people were all focused on processing paper.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to basically close that center here.
Well, that's the way of things. I mean, technology marches on. Those folks will have to go find something else to do, and they will, because there are plenty of people out there who need to hire folks. As your report, notwithstanding the bad news, there's still pretty high employment out there, isn't there?
Exactly. It's just not really high.
Yeah.
The demand isn't really high. It's fading a little bit, but it's still historically very, very good.
Every month, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 30 years or so, maybe more than 30 years, I guess, Bill has been polling small business owners across the country and asking them about what they think is going on in their world, in their marketplace. How are they able to raise prices? Do they need more employees? Can they find employees? Are they buying? Are they selling? What are they doing? And they tell him, and he compiles that information and delivers it to many folks, including us. We're the proud beneficiaries of his excellent work. And Bill, things are looking a little bit soft right now, aren't they?
They are. From a real economy point of view, it does look like things are slowing down. But then again, remember, although we don't have a second quarter GDP number, if it comes in, say, at around 3% real growth, the first half would be, you know, very, very strong, because we have 5-6 in the first quarter, and then say three in the second quarter. That's very, very strong. So when you look to the second half and say, you know, is it going to be stronger or weaker? Excuse me. Most people are going to have to say weaker, because you can't really keep up that pace we had in the first half of the year. So weaker is weaker, but weaker is not a recession.
That's right. That's,
people need to sort that out in their heads, and I think maybe the market finally got that worked out yesterday.
Well, what's for decades, the number one concern for small businesses was inflation. And then we went through a period of, I don't know, maybe a decade or so, where inflation wasn't even on, almost wasn't even on anybody's radar screen.
Right.
It's popping back up now, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. If you go back into the 1970s and look at the response to the question we asked, which is, what's the most important problem facing your business today? We had, upwards north of 40% saying inflation. If
yep.
that's the most important problem our owners see, somebody's really goofing in Washington.
Exactly. Hold on to that thought, Bill. We're going to take a quick break. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We got a lot more to come with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, right after these messages. Stay with us.
Why don't you come with me, little girl, on a magic carpet ride? You don't know.
Robert Cray for you there. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Bill Dunkel, Chief Economist for the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And Bill, you were telling us about inflation. What's the inflation level right now?
Well, it's not very good. The overall inflation rate reported yesterday for the second quarter was 5.1%.
Man,
that's a bummer. It also, by the way, is exactly what we produced as a forecast back in April for the second mm-hmm. quarter, using, of course, the responses to our NFIB survey. No surprise. I mean, if we're going to get higher prices, it's because our guys and gals out there must be raising prices. So we forecast it right on the nose, and it's not a good number. The core number was not very good either. It was in the 3.5-ish range, and that's the number that the Fed says it wants to see under 2, so they've got a ways to go. Our only hope here is that inflation, of course, is a trailing number. Pricing power comes from very strong demand, and we raise our prices when we see inflation go up. And when the economy slows, then we'll start cutting prices. But the economy will slow in real terms first. Sales will go down, employment will go down a little bit, so on and so forth, and then the price level will come down after that.
How much of that is petroleum?
A chunk of it. You know, a lot of it's just the higher cost of fuel finally leaking in. It took a lot longer this time simply because we're much less energy dependent per dollar of GDP produced today than we were the last time we had a round of bad numbers for oil. So mm-hmm. So there was less pressure there. We're much more of a service economy. We really are much more efficient. Our car fleets are much more efficient. Our homes are better insulated. Our heating and cooling equipment is much more efficient. So even though we generate an awful lot of GDP, and we do import an awful lot of oil, per dollar of GDP, which is the cost factor, we use only half of as much oil as we did, say, 20 or 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. What did you, Mr. Bernanke, testified before Congress yesterday?
He did.
Was that his first? That wasn't his first testimony, was it?
Well, not really. He did. He had to testify almost immediately after assuming office.
That's right.
But this is his first, kind of testimony once he's warmed his chair up a little bit and figured out what's going on. And
it's his turf he's talking about now, isn't it?
Right. It's a little bit different this time. And
what did he say?
I kind of listened to it and listened to the Q&A afterwards. And I think I must have heard things differently than the market. The market obviously loved what it heard from Bernanke. I didn't hear anything really new. They're still going to watch the economy and see how it's doing and make their decisions based on kind of real-time data. Inflation is higher than they want it, so they're going to have to deal with that, and they said they'd have to deal with that. They said sooner or later they'll have to get off the 25 basis point train. Well, of course we know that.
Mm.
That's not interesting there. The question is, when will the train pull into the station? Not will it.
You're talking about a half a point now.
Well, you know, he might. It's either that or the pause to see if all of the hiking to date, you know, is going to take effect.
Well, I'm ready for him to pause a little bit.
Yeah, he's wanted to pause since he got there. The problem is the economy hasn't given him an opening to pause because it's been so very, very strong.
Right.
So it was hard for him to do that. So his inclination all along has been, wait a minute and see what happens now. We've done a lot of tightening. Let's let it do its thing, and we know there are lags there. And that's been his inclination. So if he gets an opening here, he'll take it, I think.
Do you think he'll ever have the sway, the force in at the Fed that Mr. Greenspan was?
Well, I think so. I think in a sense he already is. I think anybody who's the chairman has the force and the sway, so to speak. The question is how effectively do they use it? And of course, what critics would say is that he didn't really know how to do this when he first got in, and he created a lot of angst in the financial markets. Mm-hmm. But yesterday he finally got it right. Well, that's kind of nonsense. I mean, the markets were all trying to second guess. They find 10 interpretations for every word. A lot of nonsense stuff going on. Mm-hmm. Watch the real economy and see how it goes. That's what we should.
When he speaks, though, he doesn't. He speaks in plain English more than Mr. Greenspan did.
Yes, he does. Yeah.
And the markets got to like that.
Alan liked to talk with his hand in front of his mouth, you know.
Right. Exactly.
So I think I think Ben will be fine. It is true that the average number of years of experience that these people have is about the lowest we've ever seen for a Fed board. So that's a little worrisome. But think about it. You still got 19 people really making monetary policy here
for much of the world.
Yeah, you got 12 presidents, you got 7 governors, very smart people, and they have to make a decision. You know, 10 of them who are voting of the 12 have to kind of all agree, and they've got the best research staff in the world. I mean, so even if you had 10 inexperienced or 12 inexperienced, 2 young people doing this job, they probably get it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing is what we all have to remember is the Federal Reserve Board is basically the bank in a lot of ways of the central bank of an awful lot of the world.
Exactly.
A lot of the other central banks follow the cue of our central bank. Quick break. It's 10:10. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about small business economy, the economy you and I operate in, and what are you guys worried about? What are you excited about? We're going to talk about that with Bill Dunkelberg right after these messages.
Don't let your troubles make you cry. Don't waste a moment wondering why. When everything goes wrong, you have to go on and pull it all down.
We're back. It's actually just 7 till. I'm having so much fun, I don't want the hour to slip away on me, folks. 7 till the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great time with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB, and that's National Federation of Independent Business. And that's NFIB.com, isn't it, Bill?
That's it.
And you can find Bill's report, folks, there. You can also find it on my website. Bill graciously allows us to post this report that we work off of every month on my site and also another website. Bill, give it to us, please.
Smallbiz.org. That's small B-U-S, not B-I-Z.
Smallbiz.org.
Right.
You can find it there. Bill, if you had to pick out one thing that was the most troublesome to you about what small business owners told you this month, what would it be?
Troublesome. Well, actually, I didn't see a whole lot of trouble there. The major reason for the decline in the optimism index was owners thought sales would be slower in the second half than in the first half, then thought they would be higher. But that's, of course, what we would expect. So the number who expected real sales to be higher lost the net 7 points, and that was that accounted for a third of the decline in the index all by itself. But again, we would expect that. And, of course, accordingly, because you expect fewer sales or lower sales volumes or lower sales growth, then plans to create new jobs went down and plans to add inventories went down. Because if your sales level is going to cut from where it was in the first half, then obviously you need fewer workers and fewer and less inventory on the shelves and so on. So there was nothing really shocking about it. Earnings stayed up very strong historically, and, of course, reports of sales, you know, in June and May were very strong still, so we were doing really well running right up to the survey. It's just that going ahead, our owners now think that things are going to be a little bit slower, and so they've adjusted their spending plans accordingly.
You know, Bill, when I look out over the economy, and I'd like your opinion on this, I look out over the economy, I see some issues. Higher interest rates are an issue that we have to deal with. Global competition is an issue we have to deal with. Higher petroleum prices certainly is eating our lunch. But when I look out over what this economy, our U.S. economy especially, has come through in the last 6 years, having wrung out the nonsense of the 90s and then gone through all the things we went through in 01 and 02 and even 03, I just see a fundamentally sound economy that just has to deal with some issues. What do you think?
Well, I think that's what Bernanke was trying to tell us yesterday in his testimony. He sees that the economy is slowing, but to, you know, basically around trend growth. Well, that's very good at this point in an expansion to be running at kind of trend growth rate. So that's the scenario he sees, and I would agree. You know, we don't really see major trouble spots in the economy. There are some weird things that have been going on, like the consumer savings rate being negative, and we expect the consumer to slow down here somewhere. And, of course, if fewer customers are coming through your front door, you do need fewer employees and so on. And that's the story we're basically getting. So I think we don't see any major pitfalls out there, just a nice slope downward to a more sustainable growth pace. And
are you seeing an increase in borrowing? Did I see that in your report?
There's a hint of it that we borrow a little bit more or more frequently.
Small business owners.
The question we ask is, you know, do you borrow at least once a quarter? That's what we measure frequent borrowing. And that's been edging up a little bit, still historically very low, but it's been edging up. And, the only thing that I worry about is that the last time that number got really big was back, of course, in the early 1980s when cash flow was so badly eroded by inflation. We had to borrow in order to keep things rolling.
Well, that's what worries me now. If you're seeing, in the face of higher interest rates, you're seeing an increase in borrowing, it makes me wonder if people, you know, if maybe their equity's starting to erode a little bit. That's certainly a number to watch. There's no question about it.
Exactly.
But I will tell you, back to the economy as we wrap up the hour, Bill. I just see if we do have a slowdown, and I don't want to call it a recession, it's not going to. I just think our economy is much better able to weather something like that now than ever before.
Absolutely. I just don't see any major pitfalls out there yet for us.
Yeah.
So we're in
hey,
good
Bill,
shape.
Hey, Bill, thank you for being here, buddy. Good job. Thanks for the
My
report.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you next month.
All right.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Birmingham, Alabama. I'll be back in the next hour, right after the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.